Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Nicholas Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me is senior staff writer and my co-host, Joey Alibro, who also, by the way, does some coaching, some football coaching at Prince Avenue Christian School. Hey, Joey, how you doing?
I'm too good at tongue. Ready to talk to Combine. We talked about before in the show, it's my favorite time of year. So we got free agency rolling around soon, and we got the draft a little while after that. So I'm ready to dig
in. And we all know it, because you were excited about this before we even got over the Super Bowl, from what I recall. I remember last time we were talking about it, you're like, hey, what are you excited about the Super Bowl? You're basically telling me when it's over because we're getting out there to the offseason. And I know how much you love scouting out there. So that combine must have been your Super Bowl this last weekend.
Well, when you're a Giants fan, you got to look forward to the offseason every year. Right?
That's all about the future, man. It's all about the future. Speaking of which, you're back to coaching in what, about a month or so?
Yep, we should be hitting spring practice in about a month. It'll be looking good. I'll be coaching defensive backs this year, along with our secondary coordinator, Will Perry. Shout out to him. He's been helping me along, teaching me coverages, things like that.
Awesome. So I'm expecting some good insight on when we get to day four of the combine. Talk about those DBs, since you're going to be that DB guy starting in about a week, in about a month from now. It's awesome, man. All right. So we got a lot to talk about today. We are going to be talking about, that's right, the NFL Combine, some of the good, the bad, the ugly that came out of that. But before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about the franchise tag. And there's a lot of things going on there because we're not quite at free agency yet. But you can get a little bit of an idea of how these teams are going to position themselves going into the offseason. So let's go ahead and get it started. All right, franchise tag. Teams can designate franchise tags starting on February 27th, ending at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, March 12th. That was extended this year because of the CBA discussions. Everyone knows about those. Teams can start negotiations with players in the legal tampering period on March 16th, and free agency officially opens on March 18th. Now, normally teams can only use either the franchise tag or the transition tag in one offseason, but not both, but under the current CBA. This year is an exception, allows teams to use both tags. So it should be interesting to see how this all works out. Today, we're only going to talk about the franchise tag. And for those who don't know, it allows a team to restrict a player scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent from moving around in exchange for a predetermined one-year salary, giving both parties another 12 months to agree on a contract extension. And as we've seen in the past from certain players on the field, franchise tag doesn't necessarily mean that player is going to play. He may decide not just to sit out the season. But that being said, they will be offered a significant amount of money. The salary for each position is an amount that's no less than the average of the top five salaries of the player's position to date, or 120% of the player's previous year's salary, whichever is greater. So let's start with what the expected franchise tags are so far. There are many out there that people are talking about. From what we understand, these are the ones that are expected to happen. So with the Cincinnati Bengals, there's a franchise tag expected on wide receiver A.J. Green. Jacksonville Jaguars, franchise tag expected on pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue. And Kansas City Chiefs are expected to franchise tag defensive lineman Chris Jones. The Denver Broncos expected to put the tag on safety Justin Simmons. And the Pittsburgh Steelers expected to put the franchise tag on linebacker Bud Dupree. And finally, the Baltimore Ravens expected to put the franchise tag on outside linebacker Matthew Judon. So, Joey, tell me, any of those expected franchise tags jump out at you as interesting? Or is there some other tags that you saw that have been talked about out there that you would like to talk about that bring to our listeners' attention?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago when we did our free agency preview, I talked about how Yannick Ngakoue was going to be a target for the Giants going into free agency. But I also mentioned that he was a likely candidate for the franchise tag just based on his age and his production. That seems to be the case here. As you mentioned, he got the franchise tag. But what's interesting about him is that he tweeted out the day he got the franchise tag. This is the quote. He said, "The Jaguars are aware I no longer have interest in signing a long-term contract in Jacksonville. Duval, I love you and gave you guys everything I got. I'm thankful for the journey and look forward to continuing my career elsewhere." And this is interesting because we saw this play out last year with Frank Clark and the Seahawks getting moved, and he getting moved to the Chiefs for a second rounder, and then he signed a long-term contract with Kansas City. And coming from a Giants perspective, it's kind of disheartening that we gave up a third rounder and a conditional fifth for Leonard Williams, who's still not re-signed at this point, mm-hmm. because that third rounder is about equivalent to what the Chiefs gave up for Frank Clark last year. So I think that third could have been used to go lock up Ngakoue. Don't have to worry about the open market next year, or we can go get him this year. So he's really the one that stood out to me. And the AJ Green one is also interesting, just because, I mean, Joe Burrow is obviously the locked in favorite for the number one pick for the Bengals.
Right.
And to have a seasoned number one receiver, I know he's injured often, but to have him ready to go in Cincinnati with Burrow would be a huge jump start for Burrow and Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I agree on both of those, actually. I saw also that when A.J. Boye was traded from the Jaguars to the Broncos, that Ngakoue had tweeted out, hey, how'd you figure out how to do that? You know, basically, you know, I want to be on that bandwagon. I want to get off this Jaguars team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But with A.J. Green, I think that is a terrific way of getting the most out of their first-round pick, because they almost definitely will take Joe Burrow, and he needs to have good targets, and having A.J. Green there. I think A.J. Green's going to be excited about that, honestly. I mean, why wouldn't you be? Having a young quarterback there that they're looking to build the franchise around, it kind of reinvigorates him in some way, gives him some hope that they can really take off. So I don't know. I mean, I agree. There's a lot of injuries there, but that one does definitely interest me as well. We'll see how that works out. Well, certainly lots more to keep an eye on and lots more to talk about, because honestly, the franchise tag sequence is still just beginning. And then of course the transition tag will make things even more interesting, but let's for now hit the bell on that one and move on to our next topic. And that is the NFL Combine. So everyone knows the NFL Combine was Thursday, February 27th through Sunday, March 1st, at least all the skills portions were, in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Field, and more than 300 prospects participated. There was a lot to watch and read about, but don't worry, we got you covered. We're going to give you some of our notable performances from each day of the Combine, so let's go ahead and do this. Let's start with Thursday, February 27th, when tight ends, quarterbacks, and wideouts were on the field. Tell me, Joey, give us your notable performances from Thursday.
Okay, so for Thursday, my first winner, quote unquote, was Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama. He ran a 4.27, which was he touted as disappointing, even though anybody who's right. running a sub 4.3 is absolutely blazing fast.
Yep.
He wasn't the number one receiver at Alabama. We all know that was Jerry Jeudy, but he's slowly creeping up mock draft boards. And big boards everywhere to be the number one receiver in this class. So I think just his performance at the combine alone will put him there. I like him to a team like Philadelphia or even the Raiders if they can get a it's the Raiders type of pick, right? Get the fastest guy you can.
Right.
But those are the two teams I like him to. My loser for Thursday really was a guy we talked about when we had Adam Aniba on, I believe.
Yep.
He does the small school prospects. My loser is Antonio Gandy-Golden out of Liberty. All the things about him catching all these deep balls, being a deep threat. And, you know, he had 27 of those over the last two seasons. But he was at Liberty, and, you know, you got to put up the measurables at the combine to prove you're not just beating up on low-level talent, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, he ran a 4.6 40 time, which is not going to help his stock at all. For him to run that as a receiver is a little disappointing, I'm sure, for a lot of teams. So that's my Thursday notable performances.
Yeah, so those are good ones, actually. I certainly agree with those and the ones that you kind of went through there. I had a couple that I kind of toyed around with. I wasn't sure who I was going to really talk about because I did want to talk about Justin Herbert, but he's getting plenty of media attention, as is Jordan Love. So I'm going to skip those guys, although I think they both had great combine performances. I'm going to talk instead about Chase Claypool, and of course I'm biased being a Notre Dame fan, but with good reason, seeing that Chase Claypool did amazing things in 2019, 66 catches, 1,037 yards, 15.7 yards per catch, and 13 touchdowns. And of course, his touchdown from the Senior Bowl also helps. And Claypool did a great job, I think, at the combine, solidifying his potential as a later round wide receiver pick in a very deep wide receiver class. I mean, there are so many great wide receivers out there, but he has some significant measurables, 6'4", 238 pounds. He's a big guy. He's tall. He's big. Some people had asked whether he should move to tight end. He even said himself that he might consider that. But you know what? He did all the things he had to do in order to show that he was a wide receiver. I mean, he ran like one, that's for sure. Seventh fastest 40-yard dash among wide receivers at a 4.42. I mean, not a lot of tight ends run that fast, so that's some big stuff. According to NFL Research, Claypool and Calvin Johnson are the only wide receivers who stood at least 6'4 and 235 pounds and ran a sub 4.45 second 40-yard dash. So that there you go. That tells you something. He also had the fourth best vertical jump at 40.5. and the 50 most reps on bench press. So he has ups, he's strong, he's fast. What else do you want from a guy? He actually runs good routes as well. So I think I like him as a later pick in the draft in a very solid wideout class. And I think the combine definitely helped him. Now I'm going to talk about your boy here, Jake Fromm from Georgia. I'm going to talk about him as the down, actually, because top-end draft prospect, I thought. Had an up and down 2019 season. Saw him slip to the second round or later in most big boards. You know, I didn't see anything that he did in the combine that improved his stock. I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. But you know, the thing is that, you know, during measurable drills, you know, Fromm was pretty subpar, 5.01 second 40-yard dash, basically the slowest time amongst all quarterbacks. He posted a 30-inch vertical. That was ninth best, a 111-inch broad jump, 10th best. And he had a 4.51 second short shuttle, tied for seventh amongst quarterbacks, and a 7.27 second three cone drill at ninth amongst quarterbacks. So he's not fast, not a lot of agility there, not terribly strong, and it does nothing to address the concern about arm strength. There's always been a little bit of concern about Fromm and his arm strength. His hand size measured up at 8 7/8 inches, which is exactly 1 inch smaller than the average NFL quarterback. You know, that in and of itself doesn't cause problems, but the fact that people are concerned about arm strength, and it was really clear that he was trying to overcompensate with the on-field drills for arm strength. He just basically overthrew everybody when he went deep, and that was clearly him just trying to overcompensate. I wasn't thrilled with what I saw from Jake Fromm. I'm sure he'll still be the sixth or seventh quarterback off the board, but this does nothing in order to improve his draft stock as far as I'm concerned. So, tell me about Fromm. What do you think? You have any thoughts on him? I know you're from around the area. He's not your guy, but around the area, so to speak.
Yeah, as someone who's seen a ridiculous amount of Georgia games over the last 3 years that I've been at the University of Georgia, I've been attacked for this in the past because it's not a popular opinion to have on your own team's quarterback, but I do not think he's an NFL quarterback in the slightest. I think he's a career backup. Which there's nothing wrong with that. But some people, they like to get grandiose with their predictions on their own guy. Everything I've seen from him has been average arm strength, average accuracy. And he's never had to be the guy at Georgia.
Right.
He's had
Sonny
Michel, Nick Chubb, Elijah Holyfield, DeAndre Swift.
Very
and
true.
He throws the ball 15, 20 times a game. And
right.
I think he won one game in this entire college career where he threw over 30 passes. And today's
no,
NFL,
that.
That's not going to happen. You're throwing 30, 40 balls a game in the NFL.
Right.
So for a team to take a risk, even in the second round on Jake Fromm, would be surprising to me just because I don't see him as a long-term starter anywhere. But a team that's a little worried about their quarterback's health or just wants to take a flyer on him in the third or fourth, I could see that happening.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not the biggest Jake Fromm supporter. Like I mentioned before, my quarterback, Brock Vandegrift at Prince Avenue, he's the number one 2021 quarterback in the nation, and he committed to Georgia. So I'm very excited about watching him in a few years.
Oh, all
after
upside now, huh? Yeah.
What's that?
All upside now, right? You mean it looks like you got a lot to look forward to.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. This year we got Jamie Newman coming in from Vanderbilt as a grad transfer. And talk about the complete opposite of Fromm. He's an athletic freak. So I'm also excited about that. Spice up the offense a bit. Yeah. So
pretty
those
low
are my
bar
thoughts
though to be a better off be a better athlete than Jake Fromm based on his numbers. Just saying. Not didn't want to take a shot at Jake Fromm when he's down, but not impressive. Just saying. You know, hey, I can't do better. I'm just saying. If you're at the combine, you know, competition's pretty high. All right. Well, that's some good thoughts there on Jake Fromm and some things to look forward to for all you Bulldog fans out there. So let's go ahead and turn it over to the next day, and that is Friday, February 28th, where the place kickers, special teams, offensive linemen, and running backs were on the field. So, Joey, take it away. What were the notable performances from Friday?
Yeah, so I've got two winners. I didn't pick out any losers this day.
Kind.
My first winner, I'm sure you heard all about him. He's been in the talk of the town because of his combine performance. Mekhi Becton, the tackle from Louisville. He's 6'7", 364 pounds, which is a monster of a man. And for him to run a 5'1", 40 is one of the most impressive things I've seen at the combine. We talked about Henry Ruggs running a 4.27, but a guy that whose size doesn't even register in your mind until you're next to him, for
right.
him to run a 5'1", and have all this buzz around him is incredible. My only concern about him is it kind of reminds me of Eric Flowers when the Giants drafted him in 2015.
Oh, man.
He was a very large human being coming from an ACC school that had an impressive combine. So that's my only – I have that little –
Yeah, I can imagine why you have that problem. You have a little PTSD over Eric Flowers, right? So that
exactly.
makes sense.
And Becton's quote at the combine makes me a little more – thinking that he'll get drafted by the Giants in the early first if we trade back, of course. He said, if you want to run the ball, draft me. So I'm sure Dave Gettleman is drooling about that one.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah, that's my first winner from that day. And then the second winner is going to be Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I love that guy.
I mean, over the last 20 years, there's been concerns about Wisconsin running backs. I mean, all the way back to Ron Dane. I mean, that's obviously a little bit before my time, but I remember him being quite the bust for the Giants. But I mean, Jonathan Taylor looks to be the real deal so far. I mean, over 7,000 yards from scrimmage in his career, 55 total touchdowns, and then ran a 4.41 at 226 pounds is very impressive for a running back. So I see him being in that RB1, RB2 spot, switching off with DeAndre Swift. I don't see any running backs going in the first round this year because a lot of the analytics push has been that you don't draft running backs in the first round. Obviously, that didn't stop Gettleman
right.
drafting Barkley and Gettleman also drafting Christian McCaffrey during his time in Carolina. But I see Taylor and Swift leading that running back group coming into May.
Yeah, no, me too. And I love the fact that it's Taylor Swift. That's fantastic. I mean, you're just like, wow, can you ask for a better combo? It's Taylor Swift. Anyway, so, and Ryan, if he made this show, would be rolling over right now and getting ready to blast us because, of course, we know how much he hates running backs. Come on and defend yourself, Ryan. Get on here and defend yourself. He hates running backs, and he also loved Jake Fromm for the Patriots last time we were on the air, so it'll be interesting to see what he thinks about all this. Hey, I love the Jonathan Taylor pick. And, of course, I love the Becton pick. I'll just toot my own horn here. Last time, before we got on to the combine, I had said a guy that I'm really excited about is Becton. I had actually named him as one of my guys I was really excited about. But the other guy I was really excited about and probably the one that I was most excited about was Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle out of Iowa. He's by far one of my favorite offensive linemen in draft, and he did everything he could to prove me right. At the combine, he recorded a 40-yard dash of 4.85 seconds, the best time of any offensive lineman this year. He also hit a 36.5-inch vertical, the best of any offensive lineman ever. and 121-inch broad jump, which ties the offensive lineman record by Colton Miller in the combine in 2018. If that wasn't enough, he also recorded a 7.65 three-cone drill, good for fifth best amongst offensive linemen. So he is athletic. I mean, he's really, really athletic for offensive tackle, and he has lots of utility because he's played both sides on tackle, right, left. He also can play guard. His on-field drills were even more impressive. He changed direction on a dime on pull drills. He was amazing going back and forth, led by coaches on drills. I mean, it really just amazing agility around the cones. I can't say enough. And you know what? He's 6'5 and 320 pounds. This guy is the real deal, and I think he has solidified his positioning in the top 10 of the upcoming draft. So love that guy. Another guy that I obviously have a massive man crush on now that I can't have a man crush on LaVisca Chenault because he didn't do that well in the combine. So I can't do that anymore. I got to switch over to Tristan. And I will also mention, as kind of, you know, a little bit off the radar here, is Darrington Evans, running back from Appalachian State. And a little bit off, further off the radar. He did manage to challenge Taylor with his 4.41 second 40-yard dash, best for good for second best among running backs, tied for fifth best on broad jump at 125 inches, and totally shined during field drills. Clearly, lots of agility, lots of speed, can catch lots of passes. I mean, of course, his size, 5'10", 203, probably going to keep him in that change of pace role, but I definitely think his performance at the combine has cemented his potential and might bring him up a couple of draft boards for those who are looking to solidify their backfield, because most of these backfields are running backs by committees at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get picked up somewhere in the midway point of the draft. I think that'd be interesting to see what happens. All right, let's move on to the next day. Let's go to Saturday, February 29th, defensive linemen and linebackers on the field. Joey, what do you got? What are your notable performances for Saturday?
I have a winner and a loser. So for the winner, it's for all those people, you know, they talk about Isaiah Simmons, you know, he's the best linebacker. Yeah, that's true. But he's going top five, so a lot of these teams are not going to have a shot at him. My winner was Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. He did really well. He had a 10 feet 9 inch broad and a 38 inch vert. Plus, he's booking it with a 4.52 40. Obviously, not the 4.39 that Isaiah Simmons put up, but for a linebacker, that's a good time. So Murray was kind of floating around like late first, mid second in terms of his draft position. And this should probably bump him up into the first round guaranteed with his performance. There's only like one other guy that's standing between him and like the second best linebacker in the draft, and that's Patrick Queen from LSU. Murray's had some concerns in coverage, just the athleticism that he put on display at the combine should like put that to ease in terms of like, can we fix it? Because he's definitely athletic enough to stick with those faster tight ends and everybody else. So my loser for Saturday was Derek Brown. I actually went to high school 5 minutes from where he went to high school. He was a year older than I was. So he's been the toast of the town for quite a while. So to see him go through this draft process is actually really cool. He was projected to go super high in the draft, like top 10. But he had a pretty disappointing day. He ran an 8.223 cone, which according to everything I've seen is very, very bad for a D lineman. Plus he ran slow and jumped low. And a guy that I talked about in a couple podcasts ago, and we were talking about guys to watch the combine or whatever, is Javon Kinlaw. So I actually see Kinlaw jumping him now as that number one interior defensive lineman. Not to say that Derek Brown won't go in the first. I still think he goes in the first. I think he goes mid-teens to early 20s. But he's not going to be that top 10 pick that we all thought he was going to be. So he's my loser for the last day of the combine.
Wow, okay, the good one there. And, of course, slow and low, great things if you're a barbecue guy, not a good thing if you're at the combine. I love that. Slow and low, not a good combo at the combine for sure. So those are some good ones here. And I will turn to the guy you mentioned previously, and that's Isaiah Simmons. Obviously, we know how good he is, linebacker out of Clemson. but he really blew the doors off on day three. I mean, he led all linebackers in the 40-yard dash of 4.39, which is also, by the way, top 10% for all linebackers in combine history. He was second in the broad jump at 132 and tied for third in the vert at 39. He's a big linebacker, 6'4", 238 pounds, but he showed plenty of agility at the combine. And, of course, as we all know, he played plenty of safety when he was at Clemson, as well as corner and defensive end while he was in college. So, wow, those measurables, the versatility, he's just going to be rising up draft boards quick. I don't know how much further up he can go, but I love what I saw there. I think it was some good stuff. I will mention one person as a down here, and I know it's hard to say because he did perform well when he was in college, and then what can you tell pursuant to the combine? He did have some off-field issues as well at LSU, so that could have had some impact there. I'm talking about Michael Divinity, linebacker out of LSU. You know, he really couldn't afford to have a poor showing at the combine, but he did have a poor showing. Ran a 4.85 in the 40-yard dash. You know, I just thought that you'd have to do better than that. I mean, that was good for 28th amongst linebackers. He also had only 14 reps on the bench press. That's tied for 24th. And his vert was only 31 inches, tied for 27th. I mean, he really kind of bottomed out. For a guy, he doesn't have a lot of length. He has a little bit of length, but he doesn't have a lot of size, I should say, as an edge rusher. It's unclear whether this was going to help him or not. I don't think the combine performance did anything to increase his draft stock, so he's my loser of the day. And I also mentioned that his broad jump didn't get him any better, 115 inches, tied for 27th. I mean, it just basically scraped the bottom of the barrel all the way across the board. Okay, let's move to the last day. That's Sunday, March 1st. Defensive backs and safeties out there on the field. Joey, fire it away. What do you got for our defensive backs and safeties?
Yeah, so I got two winners. They're both corners. This first one makes me feel incredibly old. Antoine Winfield Jr.
Okay.
I remember watching his dad, which is the first time I've seen a player's son who I got to watch enter the draft process. So,
right.
Another milestone.
Well, it makes you feel old. Imagine how it makes me feel. Dan, geez, what the heck? It's like I might have seen Antoine Winfield's grandfather play at some point. All right, go ahead. So tell us about him.
He had a huge day out of Minnesota. He's a 5'9", 203-pound nickel / safety guy. He ran a 4.45 40, jumped 36 inches, and 10'3" broad. He really made it look easy. I don't know, his name was floated around a lot in the top 50, but he definitely cemented that status. My other winner is C.J. Henderson out of Florida, and he's probably going to be the second cornerback off the board after Jeff Okuda. Out of Ohio State. He ran a 4.39 40. Even Daniel Jeremiah said he's going to be a top 15 pick during the combine's broadcast. A lot of people knock Henderson on his tackling, but I think that's a fixable trait in a guy. But he's definitely good in coverage, and that's what you want out of your corners. I like him as my second winner for the day.
Yeah, no, I like both of those guys too. And I'm going to hit two guys here who came from schools that are at opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the draft. All right, I'm going to talk about, first of all, Kyle Duggar, safety out of Lenoir Ryan University, which hasn't had a player drafted in the NFL since 2000. 2000, it's been a long time, man, since he's had – he may be it. He's got some elite speed. He's got size. He's explosive. He was first among all DB and safeties in the vertical jump at 42 inches, second among safeties in the broad jump at 11.2, and he had the sixth fastest 40-yard dash among safeties at 4.49. I mean, I think this guy can do some damage. He was all team All-American last year, 31 tackles, 1 for a loss, 2 interceptions, 4 pass breakups, and he was also a punt return specialist, so he can get out there on special teams as well, with 12 returns for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think there's a lot to like about that. I'm going to flip to the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going to talk about the Ohio State guy, Jeff Okuda, that you just talked about, cornerback. Man, you know, Ohio State since 1999 has sent 10 cornerbacks. I'm not just talking about cornerbacks. Just in the first round of the NFL draft, no one has more than 5 in that span. So, man, cornerback you Jeff Okuda did great things on the combine to cement his place atop the draft boards. I won't go through all the details, but I will say that he looked good. I mean, he looked prototypical, 6'1", 201 pounds, had a great vertical jump, 41 inches, tied among first cornerbacks, and he had a broad jump that was first amongst cornerbacks at 135 inches. He was all over the place. He's got ups. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. I mean, it goes so fast. So let's go ahead and hit that air horn. Another one gone. And then some great information on the combine. Got some more franchise tag thoughts. This is great stuff. This is Joey's favorite time of the year. So, Joey, give us your social media so people can follow you.
Yeah, everyone can follow me at Joey Olibro on all social media platforms.
All right, and you can follow me at FB Garbage Time. And as usual, thank you, everyone, for wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.